Morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, August 28th, 2020. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page one of Bill's story, the fifth paragraph down. Today's readers are Pam M. reading the 12 Steps, Martha Z. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Julie E. B., Brandy M., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R., and making announcements is Dawn B. Turning on and off our recording is Lynn S. The share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, 10 a.m. meeting, August 27th. I've lost that number. I'll have to get back to you on that. But Friday, August 28th, the 7 a.m. meeting, the number is 15,236 or 15236. Okay. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps. Pam?
Blessed morning. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam M. Martha Z., would you please read our 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your loyal service. This is Martha Z. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered from outside of Philadelphia. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to read.
Thank you, Martha Z. I want to fill in the blank that I left before with the reference number for yesterday, Thursday, August 27th, 10 a.m. meeting. The reference number is 15,232 or 15232. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we were resuming our study of the Big Book on page 1 of Bill's story, the last full paragraph. And I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 22, and a veteran of foreign wars. I went home at last. I fancied myself a leader. For had not the men of my battery given me a special token of appreciation, my talent for leadership, I imagine, would place me at the head of vast enterprises, which I would manage with the utmost assurance. Wow, so many words in here, so many places that this leads me astray. Right there, from the very first moments of Bill's story, I can identify in. I fancy myself a leader. In fact, I've always acted like if I was just in charge, then I could make sure that nothing bad would happen to me. I tried to take charge of first through exercise and then through my food and then through succeeding at life. And and when people gave me appreciation because I worked hard to do the things they thought I should do, then I thought, boy, I was really getting somewhere. I became subject, slave really, to tokens of appreciation from others. And one of those tokens of appreciation might be when my weight was good or when my diet was going well or when I could sit down and celebrate with food. My talent for leadership, I was always a leader. I was also bossy and self-reliant and unable to see what my higher power was doing in the world around me. And that just fed my disease. See, for me, the key to Bill's story is it's all these things that actually helped me get me out of my childhood in many ways and in the difficult circumstances that would, as the next page says, come back and boomerang. Boy, did I imagine I would be at the head of vast enterprises. We call it grandiosity. It's one of my main character defects. And I would swing, as one book says, from one of my spiritual teachers, from grandiosity to anxiety to depression. I'll do amazing things to I can't do anything at all. And I just thought the key to it was managing it and pretending that I had the utmost insurance. But the more I pretend in this life, the worse the food problem gets, because inside I'm nothing but a mass of self-loathing. But working the steps with the sponsor and staying in the steps every day with the grace of my higher power who loves me no matter what, boy, that's gotten me out of this trap. And today, my higher power is my leader. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B., for getting us started today. Okay, I want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, let's hear from you now. Who would like to share?
Christina J.
Christina
J.
Lisa J. R. Lisa J. R. Who else?
Toby A.
Toby A.
Pam M.
Pam M.
Janet F.
Jana F.
Santa Margaret. No.
Santa H. And then I heard one other. Who is that?
Margaret N.
Margaret N. Okay, we'll stop there now, and we'll hear from others later. So I have Christina J., Lisa J.R., Toby A., Pam M., Jana S., Santa H., and Margaret N. Please go ahead, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. And, wow, Julie pretty much hit all the nails on the head. What a tangled web of life we come into and gets weaved and weaved and circled around. And here I am at 61, just now learning to let go of the fantasies in tomorrow. I came in with this restless, irritable discontent and this desire to be something big, to move out of that home life of drama and confusion into the big burning desire I had in my chest as a young girl, a young woman. I had talents. And as I stood on my high school hallway, the last day of graduation in a school I'd only been in for the longest time when I was in any school, which was 6 months, I said to myself and echoed in the hallway, I'm going to prove to the world that I'm worthy, of being loved, validated. And boy, that was my statement. And I went out in the world to prove it and fantasized every day. I did take action steps, as we'll see that Bill did in the coming paragraphs. And but everything was driven by this fear that I wasn't good enough. And my fantasies were that I would be a huge singing star, and I would be as famous as anyone could be, and that I would be validated and people would see my talent. So behind all that was the fear that I wasn't good enough. That, well, I was good enough, but I didn't know how to do it. Let's put it that way. And I just, there's no magic formula. There's no roadmap for the music career. It's very convoluted. And what a crazy journey I chose to try to prove myself on. But I do believe that God gives us talents, and they're to be used for His good. And behind my trying to do it all myself and not relying on God, feeling that God had given me this path, and not asking Him into my decisions, was the food. The food was my courage. The food then turned on me and became my weight. And back then, you weren't allowed to be fat and be a star. And so I was constantly in constant nervous tension about the whole thing. But food was always the rescuer, and then the diets, and then the food, and then the diets, and then the lying about how old I was. And what a horrible, restless, irritable, discontent journey. I still believe to this day that God has given me these talents for a reason. With all the success I did have and the hearts I did touch, I know that's what God wants me to do. But today, I rest easy, and today, I don't fantasize about tomorrow. I take one step at a time, and I pray to God to give me the guidance to do as He would have me do and be of service to my fellows, no matter if they're struggling in the food, struggling in digestive issues, struggling in whatever area of their life. It's such a hard struggle that we have when we're younger. At least I did, and my niece is having right now in her broken relationship. God, we can be of service when we reach recovery. So I encourage everyone, if you're not on the train, you know, get going. Put everything you know aside and begin to work the steps so that you can be of service to hearts and people that are struggling in this world with all your experience and your talents and things that you've been given specifically as a gift from God. Thank you, guys. I love you, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Lisa J.R., please share with us.
Boom! The first two shares were unbelievable. This is Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered by God's grace for today. So, you know, we see in the beginning, right out of the box, you know, that Bill finds the social lubricant is helping him, that alcohol is helping him to
Lisa, we can't hear you. Press star one time.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Let me see what's going on. I don't know what you heard. Did you hear anything?
Yes, we did. You just blanked out towards. I can't even remember.
Oh, okay, no
just
problem.
Just the last. Yeah.
So anyway, so Bill, you know, here he is with the social lubricant. It works for everything. And so, you know, he's getting validation from his men. And that's all we all want in life, is to matter, to be loved, to have those instincts met, you know, that we have, that are God-given instincts that go awry, as the 12 and 12 tells us. So part of my self-seeking is that I project, I get into projection, I can read the future. Somebody calls it future forecasting, and I love that. You know, I can tell where I'm going, what I'm going to do. If I go A, B, C, I'm going to, you know, get to the next, I'm going to get to the next letter. And we map it all out in our brains, and then we get into fantasy. But the funny thing about this disease is that we go from that denial that we have a problem to delusion, and we get into self-seeking, you know, habits where we project, we fantasize, we do what we have to do to quench the fear that we really have, that's that corroding thread. And, you know, Bill is no different than any of us. We may not, you know, have walked his ideal, you know, his same walk, but we can relate in here.
This whole story is about relating in, and each one of us at some point have felt the pressures, the pain, the hurt, the fear, so that we're ready, you know, to get the solution that's ahead. So, like I say, hold on to your hats because the good stuff is yet to come past.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. Toby A., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Toby A., recovered in Fremont, California. You know, this paragraph that we just read really hits me in terms of the way this is, this disease of addiction, regardless of what the substance is, alcohol, food, drugs, whatever. It's an inherited family disease, I believe. And my grandfather had it, and he was at this, in this exact, you know, this, these exact years where Bill was, this exact time in the world. And the same things, he was a leader, and he was an inventor, and he was grandiose, and he was sure that he was going to do all of this, just like Bill. And he had that social lubricant, that addiction, that alcoholism, just like Bill. And I always imagine, you know, he could have been what Bill W. was. But he wasn't. Bill found this program from God and from Evie and from, you know, we know the history. And my grandfather found drugs and alcohol and a shotgun in a hotel room and killed himself with an overdose of alcohol and barbiturates. And I inherited this disease, and you know, I got clean and sober from the alcohol very young in life, but the food just took me. And I have this grandiosity, and I have this, I'm gonna be all these great things. And what I ended up being was, you know, 80 pounds overweight and feeling like I couldn't ever get hired because nobody was gonna hire me at my size and my age, and only through this program, through working these steps, have I been able to avoid being the one who is dying, because this disease, just like alcoholism and drug addiction, this disease of compulsive overeating kills us. It kills us with high blood pressure and that was my big fear. My big fear is that I was going to have a stroke because my blood pressure was so high when I was overweight. And now I'm at a healthy weight and I'm abstinent every day, and I don't feel the desire to compulsively overeat. What I feel the desire is to get up in the morning way earlier than I usually like to be awake and call into this meeting every day because it saves my life every day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Toby A. Pam M., please share with us.
Good morning. Blessings. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. You know, a few things stand out for me with this paragraph. One of the things is that he was 22 and a veteran of foreign war. My compassion for this man is opened up. I can't imagine what it would be to be 22 and a veteran of war, or to be any age and be a veteran of war, and the tragedies that he must have witnessed and the trauma that he must have gone through. I can only imagine that. He probably had some untreated PTSD, much like myself. I didn't realize that I had untreated PTSD until it was through the help of this fellowship and this program and my sobriety from food that helped me to realize that I actually needed even more help and did get into therapy to further assist and support my recovery. And the other thing that, even in this, you know, this traumatic state of mind that he must have been in coming home from war, he also still sees his gifts. He does see that he has the gift of leadership. And I feel like that's something we can celebrate, because we have this incredible program of recovery. And it was Bill W. that really took the bull by its horns there and made this available to the masses. And so that is an incredible, incredible gift. You know, and I'm a leader too. I did not, I opened my own yoga studio, and I was a huge, you know, a huge leader, literally and figuratively. I was a very fat yoga teacher because, you know, being a leader and talking the spiritual lingo did not keep me safe from this disease. And, you know, it's only now over the past few years that I've been in program that my mind is changing, and I actually have the ability to get out of this crazy whirlwind that I was in, where I would do these long spiritual fasts, lose weight by not eating or drinking anything, and then I gain it all back in 30 pounds, and my students are watching this. So, you know, and it came to me one day, what kind of leader do I want to be? And do I want to be showing people how to have an eating disorder? You know, so thank you. I can hear the timer going off in the background. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam M. Jana S., please share with us. Press star one, Jana, to unmute.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone, and thanks to everybody providing service for this meeting to happen. It's a wonderful service to the community, and I'm here again. Well, it's my first time in a vision for you, but I just wanted to report that I was binging this week several times. And I feel awful because I was doing very well in my recovery, and I thought I was cured, and I didn't pay attention to certain clues and triggers that I had. And I started with disorganized eating and disorganized sleeping. This reading lets me know that instead of looking for more doctors or authorities to guide me through my maze, I have to keep on looking for higher power to be my leader of my life. And the 12-step programs is really what the higher power is all about. I was reflecting on my binging. I did the writing, the journal writing, and all that. I was using the tools in the program. I discovered that I have a degree of self-hatred and self-punishment and guilt and remorse and all that, and I didn't know how to move out of that. I just have to study more and stay close to the program, and I don't like to have a program or to be dependent on anything for life. But I think this program has to change my mind, because I need it. I need the program to keep on going and to have a healthy recovery. I just wish things were different, but they are not. I think I have this disease because my parents, when they were children, they were very poor, and I'm sure they didn't have food to eat. So the feelings of scarcity are hidden there. They never shared their real lives with me, but for other people, I understand that that's what happened. And the fear of scarcity makes me hoard food. I hoard foods in the refrigerator more than I can eat, and I don't fix the foods that I have, and I keep looking for more and more and more ingredients, more recipes, more YouTube videos, more kitchen counsel and coaching in recipes and formulas and things and flavors and more flavors and more seasonings and more things. And it's never ending. I have a greediness and a gluttony problem. I am a glutton. And I just request for prayers for my disease to go away and to help me, allow me to live a healthy life now that I am almost 61 and I still want hope for a better way of living than death. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Jana S., and please keep coming back. Santa 8.
Thank you.
Santa 8, please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in a solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. And, you know, as I look at this paragraph, I look at my own life. I think for me that I'm grateful for all my experiences. I can look back at them and laugh at myself because I have learned in life that if I don't know what I don't want, I won't know what I do want, and I wouldn't even appreciate it, you know. Can't have rain without sunshine and vice versa. So I could not have gone through this experience and be grateful for what I have today. And, you know, I think higher power gives me at a young age, the ability to imagine, the ability to dream. I think that's a natural thing. But what Bill and I didn't understand was that we both were relying on our own will to do it. We were relying on ourselves and we needed some sort of comfort, and I needed some sort of comfort, and he chose alcohol and I chose food. I chose food to have me keep pushing and pushing and pushing to do what I thought that I truly wanted to do. And and today, you know, I'm just happy to be recovering. I'm happy to be able to say to my higher power, what is your will for me today? What do you want me to achieve? What do you want me to accomplish and stay in the present moment and just be led by a power greater than myself? And soon Bill will learn the same thing. And I'm just grateful to be in this program, just grateful to be at this level in my life. you know, it's been an evolving process. You know, I came here as a chronic people pleaser. And I'm grateful today that I'm happy in my own skin. I'm happy with my life today. I have no complaints. And whether I have little or I have a lot, I can be okay today. And that has come a long ways from where I used to be, from the person I used to be. And so with that, I'm just say thank you all for not thank you for allowing me to share, and for all of you listening, and have a marvelous day.
Thank you so much, Santa H. Margaret N., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Margaret N., and I am a gutter drunk variety of a compulsive overeater. Without this program, I would binge and be in misery till I was in my grave, and so I'm incredibly grateful. I have 60-something days of recovery, and in that short amount of time, the change in mindset and the clearing of the fog has been incredible, and I can see myself so much past my past self in this paragraph. I fancied myself a leader. I had a talent for leadership. I used to feel slightly superior to others, and then also a large base of codependency. So you sprinkle that slightly superior feeling with people pleasing, and it's an impossible vice grip because I couldn't let people know I was superior because that wouldn't please them. So it's been a journey, and I know now that when I was feeling slightly superior, I was setting myself apart. And today I'm so grateful to be a part of. I'm no more superior than anyone, and I'm no less superior than anyone. We all bring our gifts to the table. And through this program and through finding the divine in my heart, which is such an incredible experience to have that awakening after, let's see, 2012, 8 years in program and doing a lot of work. And most of it, I was trying too hard. And it wasn't until I curled up on a fetal ball and waved the white flag that this incredible feeling of peace washed over me. And the compulsion to turn to food was removed. It's just been the most amazing thing it's been a short time, but I appreciate every single day of it. So thank God for this program. Thank God for each and every one of you, from the moderator to those listening, that this program is here, because this has truly saved my life and has given me an abundance in my life that I have never, ever known before. So, you know, keep coming back. Keep coming back until you receive the promises, because you will. And thank you, everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Margaret. And okay, we can now take some more names. Who else would like to share?
Maria T.
Sarit L.
Okay, Maria T. Was it Sarit L?
Yes, you got it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Who else?
Linda R.
Anyone else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Patty T.
And we may have time for one more.
Judy H.
Okay, Judy H., thank you. Okay, Maria T., please share with us.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah? Okay, thank you. My name is Maria T., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Norway. And it's been so lovely listening to everybody sharing. And, you know, in regards to the reading, I can really identify with the ego here. Definitely, you know, he fancied himself a leader. And, you know, he had so many qualities. But, you know, and I have the same. You know, God gave us all talents, and I have so many. I have lots of talents as well. But in my head, you know, I could envision myself as something that I just, that wasn't in God's plan for me, basically. And today, you know, I just want to say that, you know, because of this program,
I'm sorry, Maria, we cannot hear you.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I keep putting my finger over the speaker. I can, you know, I've had my ego deflated, and there was something that I fancied myself doing, and, you know, it created such a lot of stress in me. And then one day another member said to me, why do you want to do that? You know, and it was just a question, and I thought, why do I want to do this? You know, and the next day I just felt the peace that I had made the decision I wasn't going to go down that road. So that was, you know, that gave me that realization that I was, you know, I was doing what God's will, you know. And it was just about a matter of ego deflation, you know. And I'm just so grateful because, you know, what before I came into the Vision program, I was on another big book study program, and I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. So, you know, somebody suggested listening to it and this program, and I came and I heard the recovery, I heard the power, the love, that I just wanted what you had. And somebody said, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And I thought, you know, a year ago, I might have said, no, I'm not going to do any of that, ego again. But, you know, my sponsor could have told me to cartwheel 3 times and stand on my head, and I would have done it because I was so desperate. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you're here today and all the wonderful shares. And, you know, it just gives me inspiration and hope. I've got so much hope today. And like the last speaker said, you know, she found peace, you know, and that was what the first time in my all the years I've been in OA and another fellowship, I've never had peace like I have today. And it's not been a struggle at all. It's been phenomenal. It's a miracle. So I'm really grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service today.
Thank you, Maria T. Sarit L., please share with us.
Hi, it's Sarit L., recovering in Montreal. Thank you for your service. I went home at last. I wanted to speak about that, just the word I went home, those two words. And I know for me, every time I've gone home, starting from when I was young, being home, you know, going out of the house was much easier. I had the structure, I had the routine of school or whatever it was, I was work. And as soon as I'd come home, I remember walking in the door from my airplane flight home, having counted down the days of my starvation / diet restricting, and then walking in the door straight into the kitchen and just eating up an entire 9x13 cake, tasting all the goodies that my mother was preparing. Just every time I was home, that's when I was tested, and where all the people that trigger me are all there. And I've heard it said, if you want to know how spiritually fit you are, go spend an hour with your family. And so what my recovery, you know, and I am so aware of that today, my recovery is put at risk when I'm at home with my family of origin, and I need to keep it safe, keep myself safe with whatever I need to stay connected to my higher power. And if that's more tools, if that's, you know, more meetings, just to keep working the steps and the tools wherever I am, when I am at home. And then the other thing I wanted to speak about was I fancied myself a leader. And the word fancy stuck out to me because I lived in my head. Yes, I relate to what everyone's sharing about. I'm always wishing people would notice me, validate me, acknowledge me, appreciate me. And I feel like we're all part of our own club. Like, we all understand this need that we have. And I wanted you to fill up, and I'm coming out of my fifth step now. The discovery is so glaring how I want you to fill up this hole inside of me that cannot ever, ever be filled up by a person, place, or thing, ever. Only by God. And me going to you is a dishonest belief. And so all these fancied up things, you know, I fancied myself a leader, Bill says. I lived in my head. I can fancy myself anything, living in my imagination. My head fancies up lots of stuff, good stuff too, but lots of bad stuff. And the dishonest beliefs that I've, you know, discovered coming out of my fifth step, all those are fancied. And can I get rid of them? Am I willing to get rid of them today? Yes, yes. So I keep doing my 10 steps and I can get out of that so that God can change me one day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarit L. Linda R., please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Linda R., recovered in North Carolina. Very, very grateful and so glad that I'm on the line today. I am relating and identifying with this paragraph. You know, it's like, you know, when I think about, like, the ego when I first came into this program of being like a know-it-all, a leader. What's coming into my mind today is also that I was an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, which is an old cliche, because the truth is that I had no self-esteem. And when I went through my fourth step inventory and I went through that selfishness and self-seeking, it was all about like me, 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 I. And I really did not have the awareness when I came in, so I didn't even really know that what I didn't know. But anyway, you know, as I grew in the fellowship and in the program and I started really navigating the steps, I started to have my spiritual awakening and my spiritual experience. And I realized that all my quest, and, you know, I'm also a very highly creative person. I can make a list. I have so many degrees because I realized that that was trying to prove to myself that I was okay. And I did not have a defined personal Linda higher power, so I really had nothing to turn my life over to. But of recent, thank you, dear God, in the program, I have really worked on my spiritual enlargement, and as a result, I am humble. You know, step seven, I don't have to be the best, and I don't have to be the worst. I say that seven-step prayer every single day, and that has taught me that I can just be equal with you and anyone else. So God and the program and the steps have helped me really reduce my ego, and I don't have to be, I am a leader, though, I am a leader, because I do have a program of depth and weight, and I can be a leader when I sponsor, so it's not that I'm not, but no longer do I think that I am an ego person that's trying to push my words of wisdom into the world. So thank you for allowing me to share, and everyone have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Linda R. Jordan L., please share with us.
Patty, did you just call Patty T.?
No, I called Jordan L.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Jordan,
hey,
are you...
Hey, good morning, Kathy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning. my name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm grateful to be on a meeting this morning, abstinent, with all of you. I had a really hard time relating to Bill's story. The first like dozen times I read it, because I really focused in on those circumstances. And the circumstances of Bill's life have very, very little to do or are not relatable for me. But when I start to focus in on not so much what's going on around Bill, but more the way that Bill thinks, the way that he acts, and the way that he drinks, and I start to relate that to the way that I eat, Bill becomes very relatable. And so in this particular paragraph, he's talking about this talent for leadership and being placed at the head of vast enterprises and managing with utmost assurance. and those are all very much, it's the way that Bill thinks, right? And as people have talked about already, the way that he fantasizes about himself, the way that he sees himself. And I can definitely relate to that. For me, I can relate to the leadership part of it. But even if the fantasy of yourself is not the leadership part of it, I think the fantasizing period, someone referred to it earlier as a self-seeking behavior. I think that is definitely a common thread for addicts, you know, in the way it is that we sort of navigate this world. so anyway, I can definitely relate to Bill. I remember being like 9 years old and I wanted to be the first lady president of the United States, which I have since let go of that fantasy. But it's very telling why it is that I would be needing food later on down the line, because of this sort of grandiose idea that I have about myself, and why it is that later on down the line my eating becomes such a problem, because I am I'm soothing this sort of like not being able to attain that grandiose idea of myself, you know. So anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I'm so sorry, Patty T. and Judy H. I hope you will pick up the phone and share your experience, strength, and hope with others today. Okay, we're going to now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'd like to ask Brandy M. to read a vision for you. Brandy?
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater, food addict. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house... Sorry, I don't have my glasses. If your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.